We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to Special Edition, a weekly look at the issues in the news and the personalities shaping the stories. Special Edition is a production of Entercom Communications.
Happy New Year, and thanks for joining us on Special Edition. I'm Paula Degnan. This week, thinking about a New Year's resolution to volunteer, Grace Palmer is the volunteer recruitment specialist with the American Red Cross. She's here, and yes, she has plenty of volunteer opportunities just waiting for you. We're also going to hear from Carol Zubaris today. She is a delegate and the historian for the Luzerne County Sports Hall of Fame. The Luzerne County Sports Hall of Fame are trying to raise some funds for the Hip Center in Hazleton. Carol will be here to tell us why and how you can help. We're going to start off today by bringing in Tina Zukowski. She's the Associate Vice President of Revenue Integrity at the Wright Center in Scranton. They have plenty of things to offer, and in case you're not familiar with the Wright Center, she has the details. Then we're going to meet Desiree Natale. She's the Director of Healthcare Innovations at the Wright Center. And one of the things that the Wright Center does offer is help with making insurance decisions. They won't tell you what to choose, but they will be there to give you guidance and help you along the way. Desiree is going to give us an update on penny insurance here in the state. But first, here's Tina. Tina, give us the background on the Wright Center, because we hear, you know, the Wright Center in Scranton, but that's not necessarily the case. There are other Wright Centers that you're affiliated with throughout the area.
That's correct. We have several locations. We have a location in Clark Summit, Holly, German, Kingston, Scranton, Wilkes-Barre. We also have school-based health. And we offer many services. We're a one-stop shop. We're an FQHC, which is a federally qualified healthcare center. We have integrated care from dental to behavioral health through many specialties of rheumatology. We also have pulmonology. We also have geriatrics and primary care, pediatric care, lifestyle medicine, infectious disease, Ryan White, HIV program, sports medicine. And we also offer dental services and behavioral mental health services.
These services are available at all the different Wright Center locations, or certain ones have certain things?
Right now, certain ones do have certain types of specialty services. Dental is at our German clinic and our Scranton clinic right now. The Ryan White program and infectious disease is at Scranton, and rheumatology is at Scranton as well. Infectious disease is also at our Scranton and Kingston locations.
How would someone find out where all of these different things are?
So you can call any one of our locations you would choose that you would want to go to, and they would be able to tell you what services are offered there and or refer you to where you would need to go if there was a particular service that you needed.
Where do we find all of the information on all the great insurance questions that so many of us have?
You can call the main number here in Scranton, and you can ask for either the Director of Healthcare Innovations or myself, and we can certainly answer those questions for you and help any patient with any type of insurance questions they may have.
We're still in the world of, maybe not as much face-to-face contact. So do you do those kind of things over the phone or over Zoom or anything like that?
We can definitely have those conversations over the phone. And if there's anything that's needed, we would work through that process with you. And we have resources available to also help apply for any insurance through the Penny Marketplace. Also, if someone needed help applying for medical assistance, we have all these resources that are available for patients to help them get the insurance that they need.
And the one thing, Tina, that you didn't mention is that awesome mobile unit that you have now.
Yes, we do. It is awesome. And the mobile unit is going to different areas of Lackawanna and Luzerne County to provide many different services. The mobile unit can do dental. We do COVID testing. We do primary care. We do all of our visits in the mobile unit to help the patients who may have transportation barriers. So it is awesome. And it's a great resource to ensure that all the patients who do have the transportation barriers get the care that they need and deserve.
Well, it made its trip to Hazleton and was giving the COVID testing there. And I know that it went over great.
It did. It really did. We are very fortunate to have that and be able to get out into the community and serve the community.
And the other thing that I also want you to let our listeners know is that when we talk about the Wright Center, we're talking about a group of physicians who are primary care and can see anyone, just like Penny is for any Pennsylvanian.
Correct. We have family medicine, we have pediatrics, we have internal medicine. So we cover all age groups with our various specialties, and we are also welcoming all new patients. And again, we are here as a resource to help anyone who needs to find a primary care physician, who may need any of our specialty services. And also, we're also here to help with any insurance barriers or questions.
Now that you know all the Wright Center has to offer, we're going to bring in Desiree Natale, Director of Healthcare Innovations at the Wright Center, and she is going to tell us about Penny Insurance, now available in the Commonwealth just for Pennsylvanians. They've been getting a lot of questions. Desiree has the answers. Desiree, let's talk insurance. And in this case, we're going to be talking about Penny. Now, what is Penny, first of all, for anyone who may not know?
Penny is the new Pennsylvania State Exchange for Health Insurance. It took the place of healthcare.gov.
And is that just here in Pennsylvania?
Correct. Penny is for Pennsylvanians.
Okay. So if you're a Pennsylvanian, what did you have before? You went to the healthcare.gov site in order to select insurance?
Correct. That was on the federal platform.
Okay. So now this has come down to the state level.
Correct.
And only people in Pennsylvania can get Penny?
Correct.
Okay. Now, tell us a little bit about, I'm sure there had to be some changes between the platform that they're coming from and the platform Penny that they're going to.
Well, people who were previously on the federal platform, their information was forwarded over to the Penny platform, so they should have received an email with access to their Penny account where everything was already uploaded for them. With Penny, it's very user-friendly the way they did set up the website for Pennsylvanians. Before even signing up, you can go into Penny, and there's a shop app where you could go in. And going through the shop app, it'll ask you your zip code, how many people are in your family. It will ask you what doctors you typically see. It'll ask you what medications you take. And by entering all that information, it will bring up what plans are best for you and your family. It'll also give you a preview of, based on your income, what some of the tax credits that you may be able to receive. And by doing it that way, it's just an estimate. And it could just give you an idea of what you would qualify for, what can suit you before you actually even go in there and begin to enter your information.
Now, one of the other things, as far as Penny is concerned, the reason we're talking about it is the deadline had been extended. Can you tell us about that?
They extended the deadline until January 15th. And with that coverage, anyone who signs up from January 1st until January 15th, their coverage would begin on February 1st.
But people who are still there, they're still covered on under the other plan then until February 1st?
No. If they elected not to join for the January 1st, that wouldn't roll over.
Oh.
It's just they gave them extra time.
Now that somebody has heard this and said, I do have extra time and I still have questions. So Desiree, we're going to turn to you. Help. What should we look for?
Okay, well, when you're going in, like I said, in the shop, when you go through the shop, you would definitely want to make sure that the provider you see is in network. You would want to check on your plan that the medications you're taking, that they are covered under your plan. You would want to be careful of what your out-of-pocket expenses are, such as deductibles, co-pays. Sometimes, especially with the tax credit, the premium, the lower premium looks really good, but what the out-of-pocket is going to cost you for that premium really wouldn't be worth it if you're somebody who typically goes to the doctor often. You want to be careful of all those extra expenses.
Okay, so as you're going through this, and you mentioned in the very beginning, which I thought was very interesting, that it will give you a, we think that this would be good for you.
Well, you're entering your zip code in your area. You're entering the doctor you typically use. You're entering your medications. So when you enter your income and you enter all that information, it'll calculate what plans have those benefits already in it and those doctors contracted, and it'll pull up the plans that coincide with what you need.
Oh.
But then you want to click on it and look further.
Well, then that's what you're talking about as far as the, we think this is good for you, but.
Right.
So what's the difference? And we've heard this when we've talked about insurances before, that there's the deductible, the copay, you look at something, it looks really good, but then you've got this. So how can you make a decision on that when you don't have that crystal ball?
Right. Well, what you would want to do is you would want to click on the plan, and when you open it, it'll give you very detailed information. So say you click on Geisinger, and let's just say the premium is $200 a month, and you click on there, and you look, and you see you have $20 copays for your doctor, $40 for the specialist, but you scroll down, and you see that lab work isn't covered until the deductible is met. X-rays aren't covered until the deductible is met. Emergency room isn't covered until the deductible is met. And then you look and see that there's a $10,000 deductible.
And that's all that just a for instance.
Correct.
Right.
So that might not be the best plan. The best plan may be, let's just say, Blue Cross Blue Shield. They have a $300 premium, but they have where you may pay a co-insurance for those services where you don't have to meet the deductible, or you may have a copay for those services where you don't fully have to meet the deductible. So when you're going and looking, you really want to take a look at the services, what services that you may need, because some people need to get lab work monthly. So if you have to reach an $8,000 deductible before those labs are covered, that could lead you into really high expenses.
Wow. And when we're talking about deductibles, again, all of the numbers that Desiree just tossed out are all hypothetical. So,
correct.
But with those, they do exist somewhere. So how are deductibles determined? That's just the insurance company itself?
Right. They come up with their deductible amounts. And then reaching your deductible, there's still a max out of pocket. So you can have an $8,000 deductible, but you can also have a max out of pocket of, say, $12,000, where you would have to pay co-pays, co-insurances up until you reach that max out of pocket expense before the insurance would cover at 100%. So anything can happen to us in life. So you would just want to make sure that what you're choosing, should something catastrophic happen where you do land in the hospital, that the end result is that you would be able to afford to pay all of those bills. So sometimes you're better off, especially with the premium tax credits, choosing a higher premium plan and getting better coverage, because in the end, that would really benefit you better.
Explain that tax plan, that tax coverage.
They offer the premium tax credit, and that's based, it's everybody's different. There's no one set credit. It's based on your amount of dependents, your annual household income, and I believe up until the 400% federal poverty level, you could qualify for that tax credit, where you would get so much off of your monthly premium, and you could choose how to take that credit. You could choose to apply all of it to your monthly premium. You could choose to apply a portion of it, or you could choose to pay your premium and have that reimbursed you at the end of the year with when you do your taxes.
And is that new?
No, they always have the premium tax credit, and they offer it also in Pennsylvania.
This is Penny that we're talking about, and it's only for Pennsylvania residents.
Correct.
Okay. Now that we have that established, I like to go out of town when I can, and when hopefully we'll be able to do all that again, and maybe spend some time in another state. I don't know which one yet, but I might want to. So now what do I do?
Well, if you're typically somebody who likes to travel and you don't just stay in Pennsylvania or in our area, you would typically want to look at a plan that offers out-of-network benefits, and that's usually a PPO plan. Typically, HMOs are just for people within that network. So we'll just say Geisinger, for instance. If you have a Geisinger HMO, you would stay within the Geisinger network, or people that accept Geisinger insurance. So if you do travel, you want to make sure you have a plan. And it, like I said, it's typically a PPO that will take you without a network benefits, where you could travel and they would cover some of those expenses.
And again, in that instance, you don't know, because you don't know where my life's road might take you. So is that something that you would have to research, that I might want to go here or I might want to go there? Or do PPOs pretty much work the same way no matter where you go?
Pretty much, from what I know in my experience, they work the same way. But you would want to look at the plan specifics when you are looking into the plan. And any plan you're choosing, you want to base it off of your needs. But you just want to make sure, I would think for most people, that you do have some type of out-of-network benefit, even if you get yourself in a circumstance or you come down with a medical condition that may require a certain specialist that you want to see and they are not in the network. You want to just make sure that you have that option available to you.
And that could also, even before we leave the state, that can also happen here, where if you are being seen locally, and you find out that there is someone in some area of the Commonwealth that you would like to go see for whatever reason, does that apply as well? Or is that easier
Absolutely.
Now because we're in Pennsylvania?
No, it would work the same way. If they're not a part of a network with your insurance, if you don't have out-of-network benefits, you would not be able to see that provider unless you pay out-of-pocket yourself.
Oh, okay. And again, when we're talking about all these different things that can come up, sometimes you don't realize things that can come up. And in that instance, is there ever any kind of a clause in the insurance that says, I don't know what it might say, but there might be something that says, well, we'll give you a pass if this happens or if that happens?
Not that I'm aware of. The only thing that I know is typically covered no matter where you go in the United States is if you have an emergency service where you have to go to the ER. And I'm not going to say what services they would cover or not covered, but typically if you are seen in an ER, regardless if you have a PPO or not, they would cover it. Now, I'm not saying if you went to the ER because you didn't feel well in another state that they're going to cover it. I'm thinking more along catastrophic. You were possibly in a car accident, or you fell and broke your leg and you had to be seen in an ER. Typically, an insurance would cover something like that.
And of course, we're talking here about the United States. So then what kind of coverage do you look for if you like to travel abroad?
Typically, you're going to want a PPO plan, again, where they offer the out-of-network benefits. Going abroad, when you talk about leaving the country, Typically, those are claims that you would have to try to submit yourself. You would bring the bill home with you. It's not something where they would bill directly to your insurance. Every insurance policy is different. You would really have to look in detail to see if they cover out of the country expenses.
And let me put a plug in for travel insurance. It's a whole other subject that someday I would love to be able to talk with someone about, but I can tell you that travel insurance can definitely come in handy. So Desiree, now we're sitting there, we're deciding what we're going to get. Now you also mentioned how many people are in your family. How does that play into it? Because now you've got more people involved, so you're looking at higher deductible?
It varies in different ways. By adding more family members, of course, the cost is going to go up. In some circumstances, the deductible is going to increase from a single deductible to a family deductible. The premium is going to be much higher, but then also the more people, the more of a tax credit you get.
Oh, okay. So that's...
So like I said, it's going to vary for everyone.
So that's a benefit that you also have to keep in the back of your mind. And does that, so you said that comes up on the site as you're putting in your information, right?
Yeah, it'll give you an estimate. If you're doing it the shop way just to browse, it'll give you just like a rough estimate of what your premium could be and what tax credit that you can receive, but it won't give you the exact cost or the exact tax credit until you actually go in and apply and they upload your true financial information.
The other thing that I wonder about a lot of times too is you make this decision and it goes into effect in this case, February 1st. So now you have something come up maybe in May, June. What are your options there? Changing, not changing?
Well, you wouldn't be able to change your insurance once you're enrolled and once it goes into effect, unless you have a special enrollment period. So if you had a baby or if you were married, something to give you that qualifying special enrollment period, then you would be able to make a change. Whatever you choose and whatever you start with, you would keep that plan until next year's open enrollment.
And who's eligible for Penny? Anyone?
Anyone in Pennsylvania.
If you're at this point in time, you are employed and maybe your employer has offered you a plan and you've had an opportunity to hear about this, you can even go and check this out?
Yes, that would be completely up to you whether you choose your employer insurance or you would want to shop on Penny.
I always get so confused when we talk about these insurance questions.
Really, the only thing would be if Penny found that you were below the poverty level, they would transfer your information over to Medicaid. So the Penny site is typically for people who are above the Medicaid guidelines, but below the 400% poverty level, you would receive the tax credits. If you're above the 400% poverty level, you could still shop Penny, but you would pay for the full premium.
I know what I didn't ask you about. Where does Penny fit in with Medicare? Now, we've already had the Medicare enrollment period. I know that because the commercials have stopped. So it's all that's all said and done. But if someone is on Medicare, then what happens?
Medicare is completely different.
Can you get this as a supplemental insurance?
No, this is for under 65 would be for the Penny site.
Oh, okay. Okay, so that takes care of that. All right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is there anything that we've left out? I would. You're one of those go-to people that you need this kind of help. Where can we find you?
You could go to penny.com. We at the Wright Center, we have assisters here that are set up and willing to help anybody who's confused or don't understand. You could call us directly. We'll answer any questions that we can answer over the phone. There's also Penny. If you go there, they do have their toll-free number. You could call Penny directly. There's many ways that you could get assistance with Penny.
And this is the first year that it's actually up and running.
Correct. So it's still a work in process, still learning a lot about it. Even with our sisters, everything's brand new for everybody. So we're just all working together and doing the best we could do. And so far, it's been a really great year. Penny, this website has been really set up to really be user-friendly.
What? User-friendly?
Yes. When you go in, it's not confusing.
Something is user-friendly in insurance?
It is. It's very user-friendly. It's very straightforward. And it clearly lays out all the plans for you and the details of the plans and what your cost will be. It's just taking the time to go through it and taking your time and reading over everything.
Excellent.
And not just making a quick, decision and based on price. You really just want to look.
And we should do that all the time.
Correct. Healthcare is the number one thing we need.
And when you need answers to questions about something as important and sometimes as confusing as insurance, now you know where to turn. Don't go away. Coming up next, Carol Zubris, delegate and historian for the Luzerne County Sports Hall of Fame. They're involved in a fundraising effort. Carol is here to tell us how you can help on Special Edition. Welcome back to Special Edition. Coming up next, we're going to hear from Carol Zubris. She is a delegate and historian for the Luzerne County Sports Hall of Fame. They have entered into a fundraising effort to help out the Hazleton Integration Project. That is a community-based effort that tries to unite the people of many different cultures who call Hazleton home. The project's main focus is to sustain a community center geared at economically disadvantaged youth and adults, also known as the Hazleton One Community Center. They've also been helping those in the community with food needs throughout the COVID-19 pandemic and the holiday season. Now they could use your help to continue their work. Carol has the details on how you can make a donation. Okay, let's start off. Carol, explain this fundraising project you're involved with.
Thank you, Paula. I am a member of the Luzerne County Sports Hall of Fame. My role is a delegate, and I am the historian for the Luzerne County Sports Hall of Fame. We're a nonprofit organization. We endeavor to perpetuate memory of local athletes, male and female, who have brought lasting fame and recognition to the state of Pennsylvania through their athletic achievements and community involvement. We also reach out to those individuals who have brought similar recognition to the state through their contributions to sports through general managerial, promotional, and other influential capacities. So what we're doing, this organization, which I've been a part of since 2012, when I was first inducted for ice skating, I got really involved with it. And along with our committee members, not only do we recognize local athletes, community members that are involved in the sporting venues and achievements in our area, but we also help nonprofits out right now. And we were recently reached out by the Hazleton Integration Project.
You're trying to raise money for the HIP Center in Hazleton.
Yes. What we're doing, we're asking people, community members and business members that can, to make a donation to the Luzerne County Sports Hall of Fame. And we're going to partner with the HIP Center. So whatever you donate to the Hazleton Integration Project, we're going to match.
Carol, explain how that match is going to work.
Okay, let me clarify. The first $500 raised, the Luzerne County Sports Hall of Fame will match. Of course, your generosity, we can hope to raise more. Your contribution to the John Lewis Popple chapter is tax deductible.
Wow.
The Hazleton Integration Project reached out to us, and they are really struggling and reaching out to the community to please help them with food vouchers, donations. They're asking for gift cards that they can go out, purchase food, that they do the food distribution in the parking lot. And they have, so far, I believe, giving out over 18,000 donations of food within the past couple of months, and they are capped out. So our organization, the Luzerne County Sports Hall of Fame, is going to partner with the HIP Center. We're asking people, if you could just reach out to us, the Luzerne County Sports Hall of Fame, and I'll give you the information and the telephone number that you can reach out to me and another committee member. His name is Dave Kanovich. He is the vice president. If you could possibly donate a small donation via a gift card or check, and if, when you contact us via the telephone or email, then we will make out arrangements to make a contact list to help out this organization due to COVID. Our organization this year, usually we had a sports banquet in the fall that was canceled, but we still are inducting our members into the 2020 Luzerne County Sports Hall of Fame. Our information, you can reach us on our website, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. We have helped them in the past. It was a great partnership we have with them, but they are in a dire need of donation. I'm asking if you are a member, a past retired member of the Luzerne County Sports Hall of Fame, please reach out to me, David Kanovich, or Jim Martin, to donate to the HIP Center. Luzerne County Sports Hall of Fame.com. Okay, in addition, the Luzerne County Sports Hall of Fame, the John Lewis chapter, we are a 501c3 nonprofit community-based organization. So all your donations, contributions to this organization are tax deductible.
And how long is this going to be going on for?
We're going to try to hopefully do this throughout the whole month of January, at least for the month of January. We want to try to kick this off as soon as possible. Right now is a really hard time in Hazleton. We don't know how long the community is going to hold out on what they have right now. Said they reached out to us to help for help so that they can get some food possibly to their, you know, to their families. And we're just trying our best to help out the best we possibly can. And we feel this is a great way for the community just to help out this organization. So people can reach out to me via Facebook Messenger through the Luzerne County Sports Hall of Fame. But we are really now looking for gift cards from Walmart to any kind of grocery store. It could be a check. That's why I say it's such a really desperate effort to help this community up in Hazleton right now at the Hazleton Integration Center. But, you know, when they're talking, Justin, like I said, their hearts are breaking because they're at the point where they really can't do anymore and they're really asking the community to help. So with the Luzerne County Sports Hall of Fame, we're going to match, well, like I said, whatever we can to double the efforts to help them out.
And I'm sure so you're looking at businesses as well.
Yes, we are. So if you're in a business in Hazleton or in Luzerne County, anywhere, or a small individual, you're a member of the Luzerne County Sports Hall of Fame, you have some change rolling around, we'll take it. Any amount is wonderful that will help these people and feed a family.
And where again can they get the information in order to get the money to you?
Okay, it's Luzerne County Sports Hall of Fame.com, but they can also reach out via me by my cell phone number to work out this as fast as possible. My telephone number is 570-406-0378. And my email address is carolzubrith@ymail.com. We also have another committee member. His name is Dave Kanovich. He's also our vice president. He can also be reached out immediately on his cell phone at 570-885-6424. Please, folks, if you can help us out at all, get the contribution up to the HIP Center so these families can have a meal. It's really, really a dire situation up there, and your effort will be greatly appreciated.
Thanks again to Carol Zubaris, delegate and historian for the Luzerne County Sports Hall of Fame, for bringing us the information on the fundraising efforts to help the Hazleton Integration Project. And again, if you would like to help, you can find out more information on the Hazleton Integration Project Facebook page, as well as the website and Facebook page for Luzerne County Sports Hall of Fame. Now, don't go away. If you have a New Year's resolution to volunteer, we have a suggestion of someone who could use your help next on Special Edition. Thanks for joining us today on Special Edition. I'm Paula Dagnan. Right before Christmas, I had the opportunity to meet Grace Palmer. She is the volunteer recruitment specialist with American Red Cross. Grace has plenty of opportunities for you if maybe your New Year's resolution is to get involved and volunteer. She says that there are many ways that you can volunteer, not just maybe the ones that you would think about in helping with a disaster or a blood drive. There are others. And even during this time of COVID-19, they can still use volunteers. Something to think about in this new year. And speaking of this new year, if you have anything that you would like to get on to Special Edition, send me an email, p.reynolds@intercom.com. Here's Grace. Grace Palmer, nice to meet you. And maybe you can give our listeners a little bit of an overview of how you got to be the volunteer recruitment for the Red Cross.
Oh, awesome. Yes. Yeah, so I joined the Red Cross back in 2017, actually part-time, working closely with the executive director, I just helped with coordination and basically office management. And I grew to love what I was doing and working closely with the volunteers and their schedules and getting them aligned with what they're wanting to do and what they're passionate about. So I rolled into this position going on 3 years now as a volunteer recruitment specialist for the Northeastern Pennsylvania area. So we cover 9 counties, which includes Luzerne.
Wow, that is a big area. But I have to say that I don't think you have a very easy job, Grace. I don't think people are knocking down your door saying, Grace, I'd love to help you out. I'd love to be a volunteer. Am I right?
Yes, you're absolutely right, especially during these times that we are facing now.
Wow. So what do you do about that?
Yeah, so we're a lot of our stuff is now digital as far as recruitment. So we're just getting the word out like we are today as much as possible. We're still mission critical. In lieu of COVID and the pandemic, we are still in need of help. We actually run on 90% of our workforce is led by volunteers. So it's very important that we have the people to help fulfill the mission and helping people within the community as well as nationally.
Well, and of course, COVID, part of that making things difficult for you, because again, how much more interaction can you get than at a blood drive? And when we hear Red Cross, we think of blood drives, and you have to have volunteers there, because just to get somebody to walk from point A to point B can sometimes be a little bit of a deal if they've never given blood before. So how are you handling that from the volunteer aspect?
Yeah, so what they're called, the volunteers that help at a blood drive, they're called blood donor ambassadors. It speaks for itself. So basically, they're the face of the Red Cross when a donor walks into the door or into that space where the donation is going on. So they're just greeting them, getting them into the system. Now, because of COVID, it's a little bit different. So they've already kind of went through the questions on their phone, on an app, or online. So basically, the blood donor ambassador is just getting them acclimated, basically walking them through the area, pointing out where they need to be, maintaining the safety protocols that we're following based on CDC guidelines. We're also taking temperatures. So there's a two set of the blood donor ambassadors. So they're welcoming them as well as taking their temperature and asking those questions, COVID-related questions, just making sure that they don't have any symptoms. And then after the donor has donated blood, we want to make sure that they're okay, right? So the volunteers also help and assist with providing them with a snack or a drink. We always have some sort of a sugar just to make sure that they're not lightheaded or feeling any type of way after they've donated blood.
Yes, they're the ones that I always look for, because I need somebody to get you from point A to point B sometimes when you do things like that. So have you found that the people that you still have on hand as ambassadors, that they have been more willing to come out and help? Because I know there have been an awful lot of blood drives. I just don't know how the response has been.
Yeah, so we have been struggling. A lot of the blood donor ambassadors that help are typically in the elder age. So a lot of them had to stand down for obvious reasons. They're maintaining safety for their own reasons, to remain healthy. So we did lose a lot of volunteers that were willing and able to come out and during this environment that we're dealing with right now. So that's why we're pushing heavier than normal to find volunteers that are comfortable coming out. And like I said, we are following those CDC guidelines. So it's very safe. It's just, it depends on the person and how they're comfortable coming out.
Right. And if they can, they will. And if they can't, they will the next time, as soon as it's, because I don't think you've lost them. I think they're just taking a little bit of a break right now. The other thing that we hear a lot about with Red Cross are disasters. And it doesn't have to be a disaster as in forest fires or earthquakes or anything. It can be a family, and we've had a lot of these in our area as well, have a fire. And all of a sudden, they are without a place to stay. They may be without things. How are you doing with volunteers, and what do you do with volunteers in those kind of things?
Oh, yeah. So we're running into pretty much the same issue. We changed it a little bit. some of our responses have gone to a remote piece as well as in person. We're still responding, obviously. We're still actively needing and looking for volunteers. We are still helping those families that are in need in lieu of COVID. And as well as national with everything else going on, but fires within the local community are still going on, and we're still striving to help those families as best as we can.
I think a lot of things have also been altered again, because usually when someone loses a home, the things that they are looking for are things like clothes and items like that. So are you able to work now with other organizations who are facing that same challenge and trying to get things for, you know, both parties maybe?
Yes, we always work very closely with other organizations within the community, and we also accept donations, monetary donations, so that we can help purchase those sorts of items like hot meals and blankets for the families that are in need, or emergency shelters as well.
And how would someone go about doing that? Because I think a lot of people are used to making donations of clothing and food and different things like mm-hmm. that. And when they hear that they could give a monetary donation, sometimes they don't know where that should go because they want to make sure it gets to the right place. So in your area, where would that be?
Yeah, so they could go to redcross.org/gifts. So that's redcross.org/gifts. And then they can go ahead and plug in their monetary donation that way. And it helps to provide the necessities during the emergency.
And when you are looking and actively recruiting volunteers, where can they go? Because I think there might be some people who are saying, you know, I've always wanted to do something like that. I have the opportunity now with schedules changing and things. So you might have some people who are out there just waiting for the opportunity to get in touch with you. Is there a way that they could do that and find out what they could do?
Oh, yeah. So they would basically go to the same place. It's redcross.org, except it's /volunteer. The application is online. It takes about 5 to 7 minutes to complete. They just plug in their personal information, run through a few questions, create a user ID, and someone within our volunteer services department will be in contact with them to further discuss what their interests are and align them with what they're looking to do.
Where else do you need volunteers, Grace?
So everywhere. So, that's a funny question. So obviously within the Luzerne County area, I'm within the greater Pennsylvania region. So all throughout Pennsylvania and any state, someone can volunteer. The great thing about our application is when they go to redcross.org/volunteer, when a prospective volunteer goes to complete their application, they can search by their residential zip code for opportunities that are available that are near to them. So it's not just helping out a blood drive. They can help in disaster in many types of ways, even as we just spoke about earlier, responding to a local fire. The other thing with blood services that we're actively looking for, specifically in the Luzerne County area for Ashley Blood Center, are transportation specialists. And they help to deliver life-saving blood. So what they would do is pick up the blood and transport it to where it needs to go. It's very safe. In most cases, you're all by yourself. So maintaining those safety precautions.
Yeah, you're not even dealing with the donors in that case. You're just dealing with the blood supply as it is. And, you know, you did mention that you're involved with how many counties?
Nine counties.
And some of those counties are a little bit, there's a little bit of space between folks. So how have you been working in that area? I mean, there was good because of COVID, so you didn't have a lot of people together. But at the same time, in your organization, sometimes it takes a little bit of time to get to where you might need people to go.
Oh, yeah. So it really depends. We have volunteers everywhere in rural areas and more city-based areas. So depending on the location of the disaster or the blood drive, we would reach out to those volunteers within those areas. And then we just kind of span out from there if we don't have those people that are available at that time. in that area. And as far as recruitment, we're reaching everywhere, all organizations and churches. We're also, you can find us everywhere online. We're posting our volunteer opportunities on websites such as Indeed and Volunteer Match.
Oh, okay. Do you also, you must have social media.
Oh, yes. We are definitely on social media. We are on Facebook. We are on Twitter. We are on Instagram and also LinkedIn.
Well, that pretty much takes care of everybody.
Yep.
So before I let you go, is there anything, first of all, that we've left out that you want to make sure our listeners know?
Thank you for anybody that has already given in to the mission, whether you're volunteering, donating blood, or donating monetary donations to the Red Cross. We're looking forward to bringing on more wonderful people to join our team, whether, like I said, you're donating or you're volunteering. We are welcoming you with open doors, and we hope that you have a wonderful holiday.
That was one thing I should have asked you. What are the ages as far as being volunteers?
Oh, yeah. So in most cases, you could start as young as 13 years old.
Oh.
Prior to COVID, we had a lot of events where a lot of the younger youth got involved. Obviously, that's kind of changed a little bit. But as far as like volunteering at a blood drive, for instance, you need to be 18 to take the to screen somebody. So like their temperature and asking those questions. But they could be 16 years old and older to volunteer at a blood drive.
That's great. That's why I wanted to make sure I asked that question. And I'm sure that on the other side, there is no limit.
Oh, no. Nope.
just as long as you can get there. That's the main thing. Are there things that people can do as volunteers, maybe behind the scenes, that at this point in time you could use, whether they're in the building answering a phone or anything such as that within the organization itself?
Oh, yeah. So actually within volunteer services, we have a few opportunities that are remote. You could do it from home as long as you have access to a computer, phone. There's many ways that you could get involved. We have other departments that from time to time they look for volunteers to help. So they don't have to leave the comfort of their home. On my team as well, like we're doing mailing. So the volunteers are helping with that in the comfort of their home. They don't have to go anywhere. Making those phone calls, connecting with those volunteers, helping with engagement. There's so many different ways that you could get involved without physically going anywhere.
That's great. And how do we find out about those?
Oh, yeah. So it would be on the same place. So redcross.org/volunteer. And then some of the opportunities they would state on there, would be basically from home. One of them is like a volunteer screener. You're basically interviewing volunteers that come through the application process and getting to know them. It's a quick few minute phone call with them and aligning them with what they want to get involved with.
Oh, great. So they have an opportunity to select. It's not like you say you have to go here, you have to go here. They can put in their preferences.
Exactly. Yep.
Excellent. Well, Grace, give us all that information one more time. If anybody wants to make a donation, if anybody would like to get involved at some point in time doing something, how do they find you?
Okay, so you would go to redcross.org/gift, gift, if you would like to donate a monetary donation. You could also go to redcrossblood.org if you're interested in donating blood. And as far as volunteering and getting involved in other ways, you could do redcross.org/volunteer. And of course, if you just go to redcross.org, all of those options will be right there for you. So you don't have to remember the backslash.
Once again, Grace Palmer, volunteer recruitment specialist with American Red Cross. And if you would like to find out more information, you can visit redcross.org.
Thanks for listening to Special Edition, a weekly look at the issues in the news and the personalities shaping the stories, a production of Intercom Communications.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.